Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Pass the right pass in. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Over the line, diagonally right side as Marchand twists the slot. Poke check by Aberg. Near side, Pastrnak swoops in. Krejci scores! Krejci took a one-time feed along the near side, and that was a howitzer at the top of the right wing circle. He blistered it by John Gibson. 3-0. Bruins over the Ducks.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Take you right up until 11 o'clock. Bruins with a Saturday matinee today, hosting the Nashville Predators. We'll get into a little on that game. We'll talk about a week that saw the Bruins put up a couple of more wins. Monday night, shutout of Montreal. Always nice. Always nice. And then back home here on Thursday to beat a team they never beat, the Anaheim Ducks 3-1, the final score in that one. Guys will be calling the action this afternoon over at the Garden. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers are at the building getting ready this morning. What's going on, guys?
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Morning, Ryan.
Good to hear from you, and looking forward to what should be a pretty good tilt today and the possibility of Patrice Bergeron being back in the lineup. Whether it happens today, tomorrow, Thursday, whatever, I think, even though the team has played well in his absence, it's a welcome addition to this roster right now.
Oh, I think he changes this team fundamentally because he is the preeminent 200-foot player in the National Hockey League. It'll be interesting to see where Bruce Cassidy plays him if he's in the lineup today. Now, yesterday he practiced him with Brad Marchand and Danton Heinen. That was a combination we did see a little bit of last year. But one of the things that Bruce Cassidy talked about is when he had a full complement of forwards and you're still missing one guy in Jake DeBrusk, and hopefully he's back here soon, that he would experiment with the fact of maybe he would split up Pastrnak and play him with David Krejci and keep Bergeron and Marchand together. So if that's the case and Bergeron's in the lineup, let's see how those pairs play together and how they're able to do it across a bigger sample size.
Yeah, that's been it was a topic of conversation, obviously, early on in the season about whether to keep that line together and, the Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand line, because they're that good. I mean, legitimately, one of, if not the best lines in hockey when they're all going at the same time. But, as we saw early in the season, it can make you a little top heavy and maybe more than a little. So, interesting that things have evolved a little bit, right, over the last few weeks while Bergeron has been out, and you've got some more guys that have been able to chip in offensively. And we talked a little bit about this, I think, last week, that this time of added expectations on some of these younger guys may wind up paying dividends down the road, right?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, it all depends on how they play and how they react, and for the most part, they've been pretty good. Obviously, slow out of the gate with some of them, and that's what they're trying to get going now. Danton Heinen is going to get a great opportunity here probably today. Bjork's still working on his game down in Providence. Donato was down there for 10 games. So they're still hoping for these guys to pop a little bit offensively. And the secondary scoring has started to come. I think the D, we talked about it the other day, I think the D is starting to get involved a little bit more, which is helping. You get McAvoy back, you get Krug back to full steam. That helps the offense as well. They can push it from the back end. Carlo getting more involved, other guys getting involved as well. But I think that you know, they have some decisions to make moving forward. What happens today isn't set in stone moving forward. Sure. It's, you know, that can always change. It can change within the game, for that matter. But, you know, it's nice. Getting Bergeron back is understatement how important that is for this team. I think getting DeBrus back is really important for them as well up front. And you're starting to see guys get healthier on the back end. So not just decisions up front, but also decisions coming on the back end when, you know, Chara and Kevin Miller are ready to play as well.
And, Ryan, let me add on to that, because if Bergeron's back in and the Bruins ice the lines that we saw yesterday in practice, what does the bottom six look like, and what do these combinations play like? So you had Jacob Forsback at Carlson playing with Ryan Donato and Chris Wagner. And you had Colby Cave staying in the lineup with Sean Corrali playing on the wing, along with David Backes, who's starting to play some steady hockey for the Bruins.
Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of in the focus on putting the Heinen up on the line with Bergeron, I guess the question would be, and there's a number of different ways that you can go, and not one of them's right or wrong, I guess, but you know, I think there might be some question mark in my mind and in some other people's minds about, you know, Danton Heinen has not exactly been, you know, great offensively this year. I think he's got 3 points in the last, you know, 16, 17 games, something like that. You know, are they looking to kickstart him by getting him with Bergeron and Marchand? Is that just a good spot for him to be in right now? Is it more for his benefit than theirs? How do you guys look at that?
Twofold. I mean, balance, first of all. I mean, you, instead of putting everything kind of in one on one line, it balances things out a little bit more. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying sure. That, you know, they're looking for the right solutions. And yes, and that goes back to my point about the younger guys and Dan Heinen being one of them that needs to get going offensively. And he's had some good chances. He's had some good looks. He's got to start to finish some of these off. And, you know, he's played better, so he's created some of those opportunities. I think earlier in the year he wasn't even getting those opportunities. Now he's starting to get them. Now it's a matter of finishing them. And if you play with a couple of you know, guys like Bergeron and Marchand, are you able to do that? And are you able to complement them with some other ways that you play? So I don't know if it works. I mean, on paper, yeah, you want to get him going. Yes. You want to get all these younger guys going. You know, the whole secondary scoring thing was the big topic early in the season when it was just one line doing all the damage. And if the one line didn't do anything, then, you know, you come away with a loss. So they're trying to find the game of some of these players. And, you know, how he complements Bergeron and Marchand, we'll see. I don't know. You know, that only he can tell that. Only he can dictate that. But, you know, it's something where it's been a work in progress from day one, and it continues to be a work in progress until either these guys figure it out or there's a trade that's made and somebody, you know, a bigger name, bigger profile name comes in.
Ryan, whether it's Danton Heinen or anybody else, I think the coaching staff feels that who's ever in that spot, as long as you're going to keep Pastrnak with Krejci, that's an opportunity for someone. Danton Heinen might get the first crack at it to get going offensively. But the other thing is, if you look at the Bruins lineup, guys who can play the right side who are left-handed sticks, because your only right-handers basically up front are Backes, Pastrnak, and Wagner. And I think at this point they've been reluctant to this point to play David Backes along with Patrice Bergeron. So then your option is basically Chris Wagner. And I think that they like him in that role playing in the bottom six. I think he's over the last couple of weeks, he's played some terrific hockey for the Boston Bruins. But the other thing is, okay, so what are your options? Who are your left-handed sticks who can play the offside with Jake DeBrusk out of the lineup? Danton Heinen is a guy who can do it.
Right. And I agree with you. I love Wagner where, you know, in the role that they've got him in right now, I think he's been a tremendous addition to the team, but that doesn't necessarily translate to being a top line guy, right? I mean, it's not the same thing. It's not the same role. It's not the same players that you're going to be matching up against on a nightly basis.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, even talking to some guys around the National Hockey League, they've taken notice of what Chris Wagner's done here for the last couple of weeks. A lot of guys came up and remarked about the hit that he made on Morgan Riley, but I think he's been steady. Listen, as a 200-foot player, he's finished checks. He's been an abrasive player. He's played from the hash marks down. I think the other thing, and Bob kind of touched on this, if you look here over the last two or three weeks, and Bruce Cassidy's kind of talked about the fact that the offense has come along. I'm not a big fancy stats guy, But the possession that the Bruins have played with has been more noticeable. They're starting to outshoot teams on a regular basis. They're starting to outchance teams on a regular basis, and they're spending less time in their own zone. A lot of that has to do with some guys on the back end starting to filter back in.
All right, we'll talk about some of the games this week. Again, a couple of wins over the last couple of games for the Bruins. We'll get into that coming up. We'll take your thoughts throughout, 617-779-0985. Judd and Bob are over at the Garden where the Bruins take on Nashville today. We'll continue with them coming up here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. First time in a while we've done this. Me here in the Town Fair Tire Studios, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers over at the Garden. Bruins haven't been playing a lot of matinees lately, but we got one today, 1 o'clock face-off over at the Garden. That's why the guys are over there this morning. We're taking your calls, 617-779-0985.
I'm having flashbacks here, Ryan. I'm watching the extra guys get skated.
Yeah. Haven't seen that in a while, either.
Well, it happened to me a lot. So watching Nashville, a couple of their extra guys, whether they're injured or some of the healthy scratches also skate. They have a bunch of injuries, but some of the guys getting closer to getting back, but they're doing their skate right now.
Excellent. So you'll hear some of that in the background this morning, obviously. That's always fun. People start sending us messages like, what's all that noise going on? It's like, yeah, there's people skating. They're getting a building ready for a hockey game this afternoon. Let's go to the phones. We got Maria in Watertown up first. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, guys. Before I get started, I just want to take a quick moment to wish all of you and your families a very happy holiday season. And thank you for keeping us all informed and entertained with the hockey talk. And speaking of holidays, I have somewhat of a New Year's resolution for the Boston Bruins that I hope that they are seriously considering. Given how well David Krejci has been playing of late with Pastrnak on that line, it's clear to me, and I'm sure people smarter than I, that he does need someone with a good depth of skill to play with him on that line. And while I appreciate all the efforts of the young players, I am so hoping that the Bruins finally bite the bullet and go out and get someone to play on that line with Krejci, because I think it's important to the success of this team to keep Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak together as a line. I'd just like to know your thoughts on that, and enjoy the holiday season, guys. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call, Maria. I mean, from a long-term perspective, guys, you know, when you look down the road and, you know, what this team is going to look like when they get to the playoffs, obviously a lot can happen between now and then. But I think, you know, it has been talked about as a priority for this team, you know, throughout the course of the last couple of seasons, like getting somebody on that wing. And I know they tried to do that last year with Nash, and it didn't work out for one reason or another. You know, and then coming into this year, it seems like they were hoping that guys were going to step up and fill that role, and that hasn't necessarily happened yet either. So, you know, do you envision that is still, you know, one of the top priorities for Donnie Sweeney here over the next couple of months before the trade deadline to get somebody who can fill that role full time so that they can get that, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak line back together when it comes down to games that really matter?
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, it was a priority for them last year. They addressed it. They knew it. They went out and got Rick Nash, and I think the injuries certainly backfired a bit with him with the concussion injuries. That hurt him, but it hurt the team because he wasn't quite the same. But it was, they knew that they had to address that position, and that hasn't changed this year. Yeah, they were hoping that somebody would pop, but it hasn't happened. You know, does it happen between now and you know, the trade deadline? Hopefully, but it hasn't happened yet. So yes, it's a priority for them, no question about it. And I'm sure that that's something that if they want to compete. I mean, what are you looking at here, playoff wise? Let's take it, long term, right? You're going to either finish third, fourth, probably in the division. If Buffalo continues to go, then then they finish third. If you're able to overtake them, then you finish third. So you're facing the prospect of playing Toronto in the first round. And if you finish in a wild card spot, if you finish second wild card, you got to go over to the Metro. And that's probably Washington in the first round. So, if you're going to compete with these teams on a seven-game series, you need more firepower up front. There's no question.
Ryan, let me put
I like their D the way it is. I think they're deep on D. If everybody's healthy, obviously, I think that they're deep on defense. I don't mind their D at all, and their team defense. And I like some of the role players that they have in place, but they're going to need some more firepower up front.
Let's put David Krejci's numbers in perspective. So he has 7 goals and 30 points at this point. He has points in each of the last 8 coming in, which includes 5 goals. All of last year, he had 44 points. Now, he was good prior to moving up and playing with Pastrnak and Marchand. But then you saw his play just exploded at that point. He is on pace. Now, granted, you've only played just short of half a season at this point, but he is on pace for his second 70-point season in his career when he had a career high of 73 in 08-09. That's an asset that you have to somehow maximize here down the stretch.
No question about that. And look, I guess, it's the question is always when you talk about making deals like that is, well, are prospects and picks going to be enough? Are you going to have to take something off of this roster in order to make that, make that improvement? Are you going to be gun shy about, giving up high draft pick? I mean, you gave up a first rounder for Nash last year and it didn't work out. So, there's a lot of kind of moving parts in that, but if it is truly a priority and it needs to be done so that you can compete just to get out of the first round, then I think you have to be serious about it. And I'm glad to hear that both of you think that they are going to be serious about it as we get forward to the point where they would make a deal like that. Let's go to Dan. Yeah. You're up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Sorry, Ryan. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Morning. My thinking is this right now. The way Backus is playing, and he is a right-handed shot, I would like to move him up to the first line and then go out and get Gus Nyquist and put him on the line with Krejci.
All right.
So where do you put Pastrnak?
Yeah. eventually you gotta make some room there, right? Maybe Pastrnak is involved. No. Now,
if you have to keep DeBrusk, if you keep DeBrusk on that line, obviously, keep DeBrusk on the line with Krejci, then Nyquist is going to be an unrestricted free agent. You touched on it. I mean, they put up a first rounder last year for Nash. It was a first rounder. It was Ryan Spooner and Matt Beleski, I believe. Right? Was he part of that deal?
Yeah,
They made two deals.
Yeah,
separate deals.
Lindgren was in that, wasn't he not?
Yes, he was. He was. So, you rolled the dice somewhat last year. And I think my guess is they probably had a conversation with Nash or his agent, and maybe about extending him, coming into this year. I don't know that for a fact. I'm guessing. But the injuries stepped in and he made a decision to step away. So, it kind of... I don't know if it backfired on it. It just didn't work out the way that they anticipated. I mean, he was supposed to help them. He was supposed to balance them out. And, as it turns out, with the injuries that he had with the concussion, it kind of set him back, and he wasn't the same player. But regardless of that, they knew what they had to get. They knew what they had to improve on, and they went out and did it. They addressed it, and, they made a big splash last year. I don't anticipate them trading a first-rounder this year. I think, ideally, they'd like to get somebody with a little bit of term, maybe somebody a little bit younger, if they're going to go that direction. But that involves a bigger trade. So, it's just between now and what's the deadline? Do we know what the deadline is? It's probably the end of February, beginning of March. Judd's going to look it up right now. But, I mean, that's the that's the focus right now. Unless one of these guys all of a sudden just goes on a tear and really gets, you know, and pops here, whether it's Heinen, whether it's Donato, whether it's Bjork or somebody else.
As you said, look, when they made the deal for Nash last year, they may have envisioned that it was going to be a longer-term solution than just as a rental player, essentially, right? I mean, you make that deal, you give up what they gave up, and you look at that and say, if you're going to give up a first-round pick, either that guy needs to get you to a Stanley Cup final or, you know, he needs to be around longer than a few months, and unfortunately it just didn't work out that way.
That's the first round. The Pastrnak was just, out of control. He was on fire. That whole line was. They were great. And the second line was okay. And then in this next round, Tampa shuts down the Bergeron line. After game one, they shut them down, and there was really the Bruins struggled to find that scoring other places. I mean, DeBrusque had a couple of big goals, but he got banged up. Nash was banged up. It was just, as they went forward and they lost a couple of defensemen, they didn't have the depth to be able to compete with Tampa.
The trade deadline, by the way, is February 25th. And I'm guessing that there's going to be a lot of teams that are pretty active.
That has not necessarily been the case every year, but there's a lot of teams that are already looking out of it, right? So we might see a little bit more wheeling and dealing, and we've seen some coaching changes already and GM changes. So there's definitely going to be some organizations that look like they're open for business here. So that could be good news for teams like the Bruins who are going to be shopping. All right, Tim McCone's going to give us Sports Hub headlines. Judd and Bob are over at TD Garden. We'll talk with Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston coming up as we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. 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 The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers over at TD Garden this morning. Bruins and Nashville get it going there today at 1 o'clock. Of course, pregame coverage at 12:30 here on the Sports Hub. And now we also bring in Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston, who joins us on the line. What's going on there, Hags?
Happy Saturday morning, boys. How's everybody?
Good. Ready to get her going today?
Sure, why not? Your last few games before holiday break. Let's get them in. Let's get them done. And let's start drinking some eggnog and opening some presents.
Well, but an exciting day today, potentially, if Patrice Bergeron gets back into the lineup. There's a lot to, celebrate there. Getting back one of your leaders and one of your best players. We talked off the top of the show today about what the lines may look like based on what they did in practice yesterday. What are your thoughts on what the lines should look like?
I guess I understand, especially to start, sort of mixing things up a little bit. Bergeron's missed a month. He's not obviously going to be at his best. And, Pastrnak and Krejci have really formed great chemistry in these last 8 games or so that they've been together with Brad Marchand while he was filling in for Bergeron. So, I think there's good reasons to sort of do what they're doing now, leave Marchand with Bergeron, bring Danton Heinen up there. Maybe you get him going offensively, put Pastrnak with Krejci, who have shown in the past some very good chemistry. Nordstrom has played well, I think, with Krejci. But at the end of the day, I really think that the Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak line, you should keep them together. And when Bergeron's back up to 100% and when everything's clicking and, all is right in the world with the Bruins and they've got their usual roster, Jake DeBrusque is back too, I would put the perfection line, as I like to call it, back together again, just because I think it's such a force that other teams have to worry about, and is just that line alone is going to allow you to really, win a lot of games. And when you have that line set, then you obviously need to go out and get another top six winger put with David Krejci. That's not happening right now, obviously. Hopefully it happens before the trade deadline. And you can put somebody else there with Jake DeBrusk and David Krejci, because I don't think anybody's under any illusions that Joakim Nordstrom is a top six forward. So ideally, you have somebody in place by then, and you've got two incredibly strong lines. But, you know, for right now, I can understand why they're doing what they're doing. I do think it was really instructive and a good reminder to see David Krejci with Marchand and Pastrnak, see how good he was centering those two players, see how they good they were to were as a line, to make you remember and realize that, you know, David Krejci's still got a lot of game left, and if you put two quality wingers that can put the puck in the net with him and make plays, he's going to be effective and he's going to be dangerous. And now I think it's Don Sweeney's mission to go out and find that guy to eventually put with David Krejci. You know, maybe Danton Heinen goes on a tear here and it wakes him up offensively. Maybe some good things start to happen. But, you know, I eventually would like to see Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron back together.
I mean, I think eventually that's fine. But I think, you know, kind of right now, I mean, Krejci has, you know, been as hot as anybody right now, you know, over the last couple of weeks. You kind of have to ride that as long as you can, don't you? As, you know, and putting Pastrnak with him is a way to try to get the best of both worlds, because I don't want to just abandon, I mean, not abandon, it might not be the best word, but I don't want to just, you know, throw Krejci and say, okay, you're going to make do with, you know, Heinen and Nordstrom or whatever, and that's just going to be what you get, and have him, right, you know, go back to, you know, being what unfortunately is, you know, people have looked at over the last few years and said it's not the same guy that we remember.
Right. Yeah. And there was an argument that could have been made that put leave Krejci with Marchand and Pastrnak because they've been so good together. You know, let Bergeron come back, sort of, you know, get his feet wet in the first couple of games, get back in the flow, get up to speed, you know, feel 100%, and then sort of, you know, revise from there and probably go back to what you've had before. You know, they were that good together. I agree with you. And, you know, you don't want to throw the entire thing out. And I think what's probably going to happen is we're going to see Pastrnak with Krejci for a little bit. And, you know, they'll make some plays and they'll score some goals. I don't know that, you know, I think without Marchand there too, I'd imagine Krejci's going to cool down a bit. And at some point, you know, down the line, we're going to see Pastrnak back up with Bergeron and Marchand. I think the bottom line to all of this, and what you always come back to, is the Bruins need another forward. They need another winger in their top six, and they need another guy that can score goals eventually to go on that second line and to make this group as dangerous as they can be, as effective as they can be, and really put them up there with the forward groups or closer to the forward groups in Toronto and Tampa Bay. And until you get that player, I think you're going to be a little short, and you're constantly going to be moving pieces like you're doing right now to try to get the best you can get.
Joe Haggerty joining us from NBC Sports Boston and his weekly visit here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Let's talk. Bob had mentioned a little bit about the defense earlier, and I want to talk a little bit more in depth about that as we go on today. But one goal against in the last two games, both of them wins, obviously, against Montreal on Monday, and then the Thursday win over Anaheim. Defensively, they've been good. Halak's been excellent in goal over the last couple of games as well. He's kind of gotten his form back. It really is pretty impressive what they've been able to do here defensively without Chara and without Kevin Miller, which gets a lot less fanfare. But, you know, that's a real important piece that they're missing along with their captain, you know, and McAvoy coming back after a long layoff and all that. Like, defensively, they've been awfully good right now.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And they had to be, because against Pittsburgh and Buffalo, they were not good defensively. And I think there was a recognition that they had some work to do and that they had some details that had to be looked at and corrected. You know, you had guys, defensemen that are supposed to be in front of the net, chasing the puck behind the net and leaving the net completely open in front. And, you know, forwards, I don't think were collapsing on the slot like they'd done in the past to help out the defenseman and the goaltender. And it just things like that, they just weren't working well as a unit out there. And you saw little mental mistakes and little things happening that you didn't see before. So, you know, they addressed it clearly, and whole different defensive team, both forwards and defensemen, against Montreal and against Anaheim, and much more the way that they have to play and how mistake-free they have to be when they're missing so much talent and so many good players from their roster with injuries. And, you know, it's just a really good sign that they've gotten back to the fundamentals and to playing good team defense and really paying attention to details now, with Bergeron potentially coming back today, with Zdeno Chara potentially coming back next week, same with Kevin Miller. And now you all of a sudden get your defensive stalwarts back and your best defensive players, and you're even that much better for it now that you're playing well and you've sort of got your mind right. And, you know, it was eye-opening to me in that Sunday game to watch Jack Eichel and his line just get whatever they wanted in a divisional game that was important against the team that you're fighting with the position. And that was one of the first times I really looked and said, wow, you're really missing Bergeron and Chara there to be the shutdown guys for an elite player like that. But your credit to Bruce Cassidy, the coaching staff, and to the players for pulling it together and getting back to what they needed to do the last couple of games, because they've been awesome defensively.
Who had the best Christmas suit?
You know what? I like Pasternak's. I like the blue suit with the snowman. And they asked him after the game what it was all about, and he's just like, hey, I like snowmen. You know, it's as simple as that. And what's better than that at Christmas time? That's a fun tradition every year when they go and get dressed up in the suits and go and show up for that game. And, you know, same thing with delivering the toys to the hospitals and going shopping before Christmas. The Bruins have so many cool things they do around this time of year that it kind of warms your cold heart a little bit now. You know what I'm saying?
Hold
on a second, Ryan. Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
You're asking the guy who wears Star Wars T-shirts under his suit for who had the best suit on for the Bruins?
Have you ever seen his R2-D2 suit?
Hey, Judd.
Thankfully, no.
I've got Star Wars suits. I've got regular suits. And every once in a while on a Saturday, if you want to wear a T-shirt and be a little casual in the suit, hey, God bless you. I would never blame you. I don't know what you're into, but you can certainly wear one of those T-shirts under the suit, bud.
Ryan, if you're asking who had the best cargo shorts for the Bruins, then you go to Hags.
I got to say, my vote probably goes to Torrey Krug for that the Christmas tree tie. That thing was phenomenal.
There you go. I like that. I didn't get a chance to see what Marchand was dressed up in, and I didn't know if he went full Christmas elf like he's done in the past or not. But it was funny when I did that pickup ride with him. That thing that we filmed for NBC Sports Boston a few days ago. He said he's all done, I think, being the elf now. He doesn't want to be the elf anymore. He wants to be Santa Claus when he goes and visits the hospital.
Yeah, he went with the full red and green suit. No elf this year. appreciate it, the time as always, Hags, and a Merry Christmas to you and the family, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Merry Christmas to you guys, and Judd, you're going to be disappointed. No Star Wars T-shirt, no cargo shorts today. Have a good one, guys.
Well, I won't be able to work.
Yeah, you got to get him to wear the R2-D2 suit sometime. It's exactly what it sounds like. We will continue here on this edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Judd and Bob are over at the Garden this morning. We can get to more of your calls coming up. 617-779-0985. Stick around.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. 617-779-0985 is the number. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Not too far away over at TD Garden. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers getting ready to call a 1 o'clock face-off between the Bruins and the Nashville Predators. And talking a little bit about what's going on with this team as they get ready to get through these next couple of games, take a few days off, and then start to look forward toward the Winter Classic, which is not just around the corner. Looking forward to that one, obviously, on New Year's Day. Let's grab a call or two before we get to the headlines here at the top of the hour. Mark, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Mark, put us on hold. Not sure what that was. We'll go with his comment line. He wanted to talk about the goaltending. And Yaro Halak expected to start today, right?
He is.
Okay. Which is...
He's expected to start. Rask'll go on Sunday.
Rask'll go on Sunday. And look, I think that's... You know, you ride the hot hand, right? I mean, that's... Halak has given up one goal over the last two games. Give him another shot today and you're going to split the games up anyway, so, you know, get him back in there as soon as possible. But, you know, I would expect that based on what we've seen so far, like, you know, Bruce Cassidy, that's the way you do this the rest of the way, right? Is one guy gets hot, has a couple of good games like Halak has had, keep him in there and give him as much opportunity as you can while you've got it.
You know, Ryan, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Halak. He's been fine. He's been good. He's made the saves when he's been called upon, and I think that save he made against Anaheim, when the score was 1-0, it was in the second period, the save he made on Montour, you know, may have been a game changer. But when you break down the team, and we touched on it, or you touched on it with Hags there a little while ago, the team defense, it's been a complete turnaround from what it was against Buffalo and what it was against even Pittsburgh. Even though they had 50 something shots against Pittsburgh, their team defense was, you know, their decision making and all the odd man rushes they gave up was, you know, that really had to get changed. Montreal didn't put up much of a fight. Anaheim didn't put up much of a fight. Neither one of those teams were very good. And part of that is because the Bruins were good, and part of it was because they, you know, maybe they took away some of their will, but neither team played well. And so I don't want to overextend it. I mean, the Bruins, I like the way that they've tightened up defensively. Defense starts when you don't have the puck. So whether it's up the ice on a forecheck, whether it's, you know, you're pinching down the boards, whether you're in position to try to take away a play in the neutral zone, or you try to take that play away but you don't have forwards back in support and then you give up another odd man rush. So there's so many different things that go into playing good team defense. And then once you get into your own zone, of course, you know, that's the end line for you. You know, how do you defend once you're back in your own zone? But it starts up the ice, how you defend. And they've been so much better over the last two games. But I look at the way Montreal played. I don't think I've seen a team play worse all season than the Canadiens played in that game. I mean, how many turnovers did they have in the first period? And they still had time to turn their game around, and they didn't. So I'll give all the credit in the world to the Bruins for making sure that they took that will away. And then Anaheim, did you read their comments after the game?
I did.
It was that first period against Anaheim.
I mean, that was brutal to watch.
Very good.
That was brutal to watch.
Yeah, the team was very good, but you know, the Bruins didn't give up any scoring chances to speak of in the first period. Second period, like I said, Halak had to make at least two real good saves, one on Montour, and then there was another one later on a partial little odd man rush there. So, and that was off a line change, I believe, for the Bruins. So there was a mistake there, but he came up with the saves when he needed to, and then the power play came up big for them. But neither team put up much of a fight. I'd be shocked if Nashville doesn't come out flying here today. They've lost nine in a row on the road. The Nashville Predators have coming into this game. That was after they had won. What was your stat, Judd?
They won their first eight to start the season. That's the third longest streak ever in the National Hockey League. And now they've gone 0-7-2 in their last nine on the road.
I expect them to be flying here today. They dealt with some injuries as well. But, you know, the original comment talking about Halak and Rask, the team, the Bruins, have played much better out in front of him, and he's made the saves, the timely saves, when called upon.
All right, we've got Sports Hub headlines here to kick off the second hour of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Your call, 617-779-0985. We've got some more topics we're going to hit on, and Billy Jaffe's going to join us in the final half hour today to go around the NHL. So still plenty more to come. Stick around.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985 is the number. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, are over at the Garden getting ready for Bruins in Nashville today. Bruins have managed, knock on wood, to essentially, you know, survive what could have been a disastrous stretch of this season, guys. And, you know, we talked off the top of the show about the, you know, the opportunity potentially to get Patrice Bergeron back into the lineup. And, you know, this week, a lot of the other guys who are injured have been skating and getting back into practices and in hopes of getting back into game situations pretty soon. And, you know, you think back to that stretch where, you know, Bergeron and Chara both go down roughly the same time and Miller's out and you've got, these huge gaping holes in your lineup. And you looked at the upcoming schedule and said, this could be really bad here. And yet here we are, these guys are starting to come back, trickling back into the lineup. McAvoy's been back now and Bergeron gets back in there potentially today. And you look back and say, wow, this is way better than I think any of us could have expected for them to go through with all of these guys down at the same time.
Well, right.
Yeah, Brandon Carlo is another one. I mean, there's almost so many that you forget that some of these guys were out, how deep it really got. And, you know, we've talked in the past about the depth defensively on this team and all of that. But as much as they have been tested, for them to come through and have – they've got some wins over some pretty good teams here, and they've hung in with some other really good teams as well. To be sitting here a couple of games before Christmas in the spot that they're in and still be in a playoff spot and still be hanging in this division especially is it really says something about the character of this team and the job that Bruce Cassidy and his staff have done.
Well, the goaltending was outstanding when it first all went down. You remember back to how good they were, some of the low-scoring games. The goaltending really was outstanding. Then the goaltending had a couple of leaks there not that long ago. But when you talk about the depth of what depth teams have, and every team, it seems like, most teams, just about every team, is dealing with something and has had to deal with something this season as far as injuries. The injury epidemic is, it is widespread around the league right now and some big names as well. The Bruins certainly weren't immune to it, but they've managed to keep their head above water. It's given some of the other players an opportunity to play bigger roles. It's not something you want long term, obviously, but it gives them, more of a some more experience and some more confidence in some of those levels. So, give the Bruins all the credit, yeah, and their coaching staff for what they've been able to do. Goaltending was excellent. And then they started getting some of that secondary scoring. McAvoy and Carlo getting back in the lineup helps them on the back end. Krug finding his game on a nightly basis now really helps them. That helps drive the offense. I think Grizzlick's been excellent. There's a number of guys who have really stepped up and played well in the absence of some of these players. And, I think the decision on the back end is going to be fascinating. Everybody wants to focus on the forward lines, and I get it. I understand why. I mean, with Bergeron coming back and Krejci playing the way he has, but and I know they're not ready to make that decision today. But that decision on the back end is going to make for an interesting one coming up very soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great spot to have. I think Bruce Cassidy alluded to that the other day. It's not a bad problem to have, right? To feel like you have too many bodies and too many guys who can contribute. I mean, that's kind of every coach's dream at one point, is to just try and keep your guys healthy and make sure that you've got competition for jobs and all of that. And that's what they're going to be up against here in the next few weeks. But, just to that end, quickly, because it'll fly under the radar and not a lot of people will necessarily notice it, but they have announced that Vakanainen's going to go and play over at the World Juniors, right?
Yes.
Surprised at that at all, him coming off a long-term concussion? I know not necessarily a spot available for him in the NHL lineup right now, even if he comes back today, but that they would send him off to go play international hockey when he's still just coming off of that long-term concussion.
I mean, I'm I'm not surprised at it. No, I think it's an honor to be able to do that, to represent your country in that way. And if he's not going to be on the NHL roster, then he should go. If he's ready to play, obviously. I mean, if his health is to the point where he's ready to play, I think that that's probably a good thing for him. It's probably some good tune-up games to get back before he gets back into the Providence lineup. That's where he was going to, most likely go, unless there was another rash of injuries on the back end. So, I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought because it really didn't surprise me. So, good for him. He played there last year, and it's an opportunity to get back in there and represent your country again this year. And if he's not going to be here in Boston, then absolutely he should go.
And in the bigger picture, I think, Ryan, listen, before he got concussed by Mark Borowiecki in that flying forearm that he labeled him on, that he got suspended for, I think this kid's a special defenseman. Steady, poised with the puck, got a lot of high-end skill, and he's still so young, and defensemen tend to it takes a little bit longer for them to learn the game at the National Hockey League level, whether you're from Europe or North America, just as you learn some of the personnel in the National Hockey League. But I think this kid has a chance to be a terrific National Hockey Leaguer. And for the Bruins, remember, they cleared him medically to play. He was going through practice, taking contact. So I'm not surprised whatsoever that he's getting this opportunity to represent Finland. And by the way, if you back up, take a look at the talent that country here in the last few years has cranked out in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, some pretty good names definitely there. Let's talk a little bit about, while we're on the topic of defense, one of the standout performances the other night from Torrey Krug, a goal and an assist. He's got 4 points in his last three games. This is a guy who missed a good chunk of the season, I think missed 11 games, and yet he's still in your top five in scoring on this team right now, points-wise. We know what he brings to the power play unit. He's got 13 points on the power play this year. He's been everything that you could hope for. I want to talk about him specifically because when there's discussion of the potential of trades and bringing in a forward, his name always seems to be the one that comes up, is that people are willing to part with him. You look at the fact that this is a guy who's got, he's almost a point per game this year for this team, which has at times struggled to put points on the board. How big of a loss would it be if you took Torrey Krug off of this roster because of what he brings to you offensively, not just defensively?
Well, it starts with the power play, right? With what he's able to do. You see all the movement that they have on the power play. He's not stationed in one spot. He's all over the place, whether it's in the right wing circle, whether it's down deep, whether it's making plays there. And the pass he makes the other day over to David Pastrnak came from the right wing circle. The goal he scored was the base of the right wing circle. So he's all over the place on that power play. I mean, it's more than the power play. It's the way he moves the puck as well. He's prone to a turnover here and again, but as we were talking about it the other night, I take a turnover once in a while instead of a guy that just wraps the puck around the boards, mindlessly every time he gets it. He's trying to make plays coming out of his own end. He'll get overmatched from time to time, and defensively, we know that. But offensively, what he's able to produce and what he's able to give this team, I mean, it's off the charts. The number of points he's put up and, what he means. They seem to play with more energy when he's out on the ice offensively, especially with the man advantage, coming up the ice, making the smart decision with who to give the puck to and when, so that they enter the zone the right way. And then once they enter the zone, what he's able to do there. So, I get it why he's mentioned, because he would bring you some value back. He's a guy that is valued around the league for what he's capable of doing. So in that regard, I understand why his name is mentioned in those kind of trade rumors. But what he brings to the team offensively, I mean, it's outstanding, and you put him up with any of the top point producers on the back end around the league here over the last couple of years, his numbers stack up against all of them.
Yeah, and look, you talked about, he might get over, outplayed a little bit defensively here and there. Overall, he's fairly solid defensively, but any deficiencies that he's had can be made up for at the other end. And in this day and age in the NHL, where you talk about, teams that are looking for guys who can move the puck, who can contribute offensively from the blue line, he's chief among them. And as you said, you know, his name comes up because he would bring value. There's a reason he would bring value, because other teams look at him and say, I'd love to have a guy like that on my roster.
Well, Ryan, the other thing you started this with when we hit the 10 o'clock hour was how well that the Bruins have played without Bergeron and Char in the lineup. And a lot of that, also the credit has to go to the man advantage and what they've been able to crank out. Even with Bergeron out of the lineup, they're still fifth in the league on the man advantage, second at home. He's the quarterback on that unit. And then the other thing, when those two guys went out of the lineup, the call in the room was, okay, we need more from the secondary leadership tier that's in the room. He's a big part of that.
Yeah, and he competes every night. I mean, he's very popular in that room. He's a leader in the room, and you know, you want guys that are going to come out and compete and play the game the right way, and he's one of those guys.
Ranks in the top 10 in the league in among defensive scoring as far as points per game played, because, again, he's missed considerable time this year, but has put up almost a point a game in the games when he has been in there. We'll continue here on this edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show, 617-779-0985. Judd and Bob over at the Garden. More from them next.
Press the right pants in. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday. Ryan Johnston, joined over at TD Garden by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Talk about some of the latest goings on around the NHL as we approach the end of the calendar year. Already some coaching changes and whatnot. Another one this week in Philadelphia, so we'll get to some of that. But talking about this Bruins team as they get ready to take on the Nashville Predators today, and I think it was a caller brought him up earlier, and you know, I want to talk a little bit more about him. Is David Backes? This is a guy who, since coming over here to the Bruins from St. Louis, has been in a lot of ways, you know, a little underwhelming. I think people, you know, hoped that they would get a little bit more out of him. This year, again, a slow start, but we're seeing more of him of late. He's started to come on offensively. He's starting to find his game. I heard him on the air the other day with Toucher and Rich, and, you know, he was talking a little bit more about how he felt like so much of it was mental. You know, in the early part of this season, he kind of got into his own head, and he's been able to kind of get that part of his game back on track, and the rest of it has followed. What have you guys seen out of David Backes here really over the last month as he started to emerge as looking a lot more as the player that we hoped he would be when he joined this team a couple of years ago?
Well, I think that he's right as far as some of that stuff, that it was frustration that was building up in his own head. And you could see the change after he finally scored his first goal against the Montreal Canadiens. That was a piano, a gorilla, a safe, all that stuff that he was carrying on his back at that point. And he, like a lot of guys, it doesn't matter how many goals you've scored in the National Hockey League. I don't care who you are. For players, even veteran players, if they don't score, it affects their confidence. He got that goal. His game started to loosen up, and he started to play, and he was effective. And Bob touched on this here in the last couple of games, especially with the power play for the Bruins. He's doing a lot of the dirty work that has made it successful here in the last few games. Going to the front of the net, winning key faceoffs so you have possession right off the hop. Those are important factors for the Bruins. It hasn't been a function of a lack of effort for David Backes. It's not about the activity. It's about the accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's part of what comes with having the contract that he's got, right? It's part of what comes with, you know, being a veteran and having been there before and all that, is the expectations that come along with that. You know, I think a lot of us looked at when they brought him in and looked at that contract and said, You know, it's a lot of money to be paying for a guy who's, you know, this far along in his career, and, you know, is he going to be able to live up to that? But now that he's here, it's like you want to see the success. You want to see him be able to, you know, even if he doesn't live up to, you know, the $6 million a year guy, you want to see him be able to contribute positively. And it's good to see that, because it feels like he's a guy who can play a significant role on this team because of the experience that he's got and because of the young talent that you've got on this team. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to be a top six guy. He can be, you know, still be a leader in that room, can still be kind of a role model on that team, and be able to play a number of different positions and a number of different roles on this team a little bit further down the lineup than maybe he was used to earlier on in his career.
Well, that is his role right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question that's what it's evolved into. Take away the number that he makes, you know, and look at him as the player, right? And say, okay, what is he able to give you? What is he able to do to help this team out? And I think it's been a process for him. Has anybody had crazier injuries over the last couple of seasons than David Backus? Some of the things that has kept him out of the lineup, and then you had the concussions on top of it. And coming back from a concussion isn't always, especially for somebody that's in his 30s and has a lot of miles on that body and how many games he's played, it's not overnight. You know, it has been a process for him to try to find some of his game again. You know, earlier in the season, we're talking about, okay, you know, he's a guy that can be physical and win battles and do some of the dirty work. You know, early in the season, he wasn't able to get there to try to win some of those battles. And then when he was getting there, he wasn't winning some of those battles. Now he's getting there more often, and he's winning more of them. And he's certainly doing it in the faceoff circle on the power play. So when he's in there without Bergeron, there's no other sentiment on that top unit. And he was the guy that was entrusted to take all those faceoffs, and he won the majority of them. That's instant puck control on faceoffs or on the power play in the offensive zone. You know, that's where you don't have to go 200 feet to start your power play. You're starting it with the puck in the offensive end, and that's big. You know, we saw a goal the other day right off the faceoff. Bruins win a faceoff, puck's in the back of the net. That was Krug's goal. So, you know, the ability to do that for him, you know, those are the little things that he will do. He's been able to retrieve pucks, especially with the man advantage. He's gotten a little bit better in the bumper. You know, he's going to probably be most likely be moved from that, you know, with Bergeron coming back there. But he'll be now, do you put him in the bumper on the second unit, on Krejci's unit? So we'll see what they end up doing with the man advantage here today. But it's been a process for him. He's looking more like the player that he's capable of being here recently, but it certainly has been a process because he wasn't that way at the beginning of the season.
No, and you know, again, I in hearing him speak about that the other day, you know, he acknowledged that, and you know, it sometimes takes a little bit of a, as you said, Judd, when he got that first goal, sometimes it just kind of gets that, you get that first one to go in. And I want to say, didn't he have one that was taken away from him like a game or two before that too, where, you know,
I think he, Corrali, or Wagner all touched the puck at the same moment. It could have gone for anybody, and it got washed out. So the story from David Backus, by the way, after he scores that goal in Montreal and they're waiting to set up for the next faceoff and restart the play, he's on the bench joking, drop the puck, drop the puck, drop the puck, drop the puck. Because he had that goal that was washed out the other day. But listen, I think the other thing with David Backus heading into the season, and Bob touched on the injuries, and I think that definitely plays a significant part of his story this year. Part of the narrative coming into the season was, who is going to be David Krejci's centerman? Because you found a home last year with Nash and Backus playing together.
You said, who's going to be David Krejci's centerman?
Who's David Backus's center? It was Nash last year. Those guys found a real home last year and found a real chemistry. Well, heading into the season, who's going to be that guy? You know, I don't know if they've necessarily settled on that, but here in the last few games, he's played some of his best hockey playing with Colby Cave, who we'll play with today.
Well, that leads me into, that was the next guy I wanted to talk about was Colby Cave. As you said earlier, Judd, you know, choosing, you know, who's going to be in the lineup as Bergeron comes back in, you know, who's going to be in the lineup. I think, you know, there's going to be some people that are maybe surprised to see Colby Cave's name in there on that line with Backes. So what have they seen from Colby Cave that has stood out that says, you know, given our health now, he still deserves to be in our top 12 forwards?
Reliability. I think that trust, you know, I think that Bruce Cassidy can put him out on the ice in a couple different situations. And, you know, he might not give you a ton of offense, but he's going to be reliable. And so the decision basically comes down to, you know, is it going to be him, JFK, or Noel Chari? Right. I mean, that's your decision and who to go with in those situations. You know, who knows? Achari could be nursing something. You know, he's always banged up because of the way that he plays. So, you know, we don't know. We're not privy to that. But that's a possibility as a reason for him not being in there. I know he blocked a shot the other day. And he blocks a shot every game, it seems like. And he's always, you know, throwing his body around. So, you know, they might not just be talking about that just because of minor injury or whatever. But I think he gives you some of that reliability. And they're trying to see if JFK can – If Forsbacka Carlson can keep it moving forward. You know, he was just okay the other night, I think, and then a couple games ago he was excellent. So it's you know, it's a little inconsistent now, but they're trying to ride him a little bit and see if you know, he can put something together here and you know, take that next step.
All right, we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show after the headlines here with Tim McCone. Billy Jaffe of Nesson will join us to go around the NHL here on this Saturday morning as we get you ready for a 1 o'clock face-off over at the Garden.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Final half hour of this week's edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios over at TD Garden. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, and now joining us as well is Billy Jaffe. Of course, you can see him as part of the Nesson Bruins broadcast. What's up, Billy?
Good morning, RJ. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. Once the elevator started showing up, I was great.
Slowest elevator in the game, baby.
Well, no, that's not true. Tampa. Tampa Bay is the slowest elevator.
It's worse than that one? Wow.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some things going on around the league. Lots to digest this week. Let's start with the coaching situation in Philadelphia. Dave Hextall's out. There were rumors before he got fired that the Flyers had already talked to Joel Quenneville and, you know, we're going to be bringing him in. That hasn't happened yet. What's the situation going forward there with Scott Gordon taking over in the interim? Is that potentially a long-term solution? Is Quenneville down the road? Is somebody else down the road?
It's not a long – Scott Gordon, he'll be there for this year, it seems like. You know, Chuck Fletcher took over after Ron Hextall, not to be confused with Dave Hextall, was fired before Dave Hextall was let go. So Chuck Fletcher comes in. He now gets an opportunity to bring his own coach in. I just don't see it happening in season. They pretty much – they've said that Scott Gordon, who coached a couple of years Providence in the American Hockey League and had a few years with the New York Islanders as a head coach, is now back up in the NHL. Quenneville, according to people I spoke with, didn't have any contact with them. They may have reached out a little bit. I don't think so. Everything I've been told was not really. And could it happen next year? Sure. But why would Joel Quenneville go coach that team right now? I mean, he's got the $6 million man life right now. He's got this year and next year, and he's smoking a few cigars. He's playing some horses somewhere. He's out in Colorado at his nice place. He's having a good time. And when he's back home, yeah, he's playing tennis, albeit probably more aggressively than adequately with some guys that we know. But overall, I don't see a value for him going to coach that team as it is constructed right now.
All right, so one of the things that they've got potentially – we've seen over the last couple of games is Carter Hart.
Yes, potentially.
Potentially. Yes. I mean, this is the latest in a long line of potential starting franchise goaltenders there in Philadelphia. Is this kid going to be something special potentially?
Well, potentially, yeah. He has legitimate NHL quality written all over him. And I talked to a few people that saw him play in the Western League and in Everett at the Silvertips, and they said he had all the right things, all the right moves, rebound control, big, square, everything. He's not gigantic, but he's 6'2". He's solid size. Nice athletic goaltender, right mindset. Great kid. I mean, you know, we did NHL Network did an interview with him the other day, and just a real down-to-earth type kid. Loved watching it. But is he ready for the NHL? Probably not. He only played, 14 or 17 games in the American League. He's got the mindset, but I think this is just first of all, they've used 6 goalies already in Philly, Judd. So this is a team that desperately needs something, and he's got hope. But let's give him 2 more years before we anoint him whether he's ready to play.
Well, they've had a lot of injuries. In fact, it was so bad during the exhibition season, they were using somebody in the marketing department to practice during the exhibition season for the Philadelphia Flyers. But I think it raised a lot of eyebrows around the National Hockey League. Why would you bring in Carter Hart to this situation right now? And if for some reason the Philadelphia Flyers go south, what does this do to a potentially prized prospect that you have? I think the other thing with Philadelphia is, you know, they've had some pretty good goaltenders in the past that they let go. See Sergei Bobrovsky. But I think some other guys that had some promise over the last couple of decades in Philadelphia are guys that they have not brought along in the right way. You've still got a lot of guys who are in charge in that organization who had their hands in a lot of those decisions made a couple of decades ago in Bobby Clark and Paul Holmgren. So it'll be fascinating to watch here down the stretch. Everything I hear about Carter Hart is that he's a really good player. What is it like for him this year, and how do they handle him going forward, especially if things go south?
They take it a game or two, literally the old cliche, game at a time. They still have, but Neuvert had his wife had a baby the other day, and that was the reason, I think, why Hart got the start. Also, with Scott Gordon, who was his coach in the American League coming up, they felt like, okay, you know what, we'll bring them both up and we'll let them both go at it. You have this kid, Alex Lyon, who played at Yale in the minors. He's a backup at best in the NHL, but you could bring him. Once they get Elliott healthy, I don't even know how long he's out. I haven't looked how long he's going to be out for. But if it goes south, they don't ruin the kid. If they ruin the kid, then you know what, bringing in Chuck Fletcher was just another smokescreen move in Philly. So, Ryan, we'll have to see what they do there.
All right, some big news with the Minnesota Wild this week with Matt Dumba out. Yeah. Upper body injury. Paul Fenton says he's expected to miss significant time after surgery. What does that do to the Wild? And this is a team, you know, one of those teams that's kind of outside looking in. You know, they're a potential playoff team, but losing a guy like that has a way of hurting those chances, and this is a team that we could be watching later this year to see if they start moving some guys, right? I mean, this is a team that comes up when we talk about potential trade partners.
Yeah, we touched on them a couple of weeks ago. They got some guys there. Obviously, Charlie Coyle's name's been out there. Nino Niederreiter's name has been floated out there too. Mikko Koivu was hurt for a while. He just came back into the lineup. But when you lose a guy in the back end, Dumba plays over 23 minutes a game. He doesn't lead him because Ryan Suter's the guy that always leads that team, but he's second on the team in ice time. That's a big loss there. This is a team that started out, then got really hot, and then they started falling again, and now they're, I'm looking it up, fifth in the Central Division. I mean, they're a team that is out of the playoffs right now. So they're a team that is they have to be, given that they have a coach that they're playing or paying to be in the playoffs in Bruce Boudreau. Given that they think with Suter and Parise, especially Parise being healthy, that they should be in the playoffs. I look at this team as they have to make a move. One of the question marks on this team, when it's all said and done, you know, Dubnyk has struggled this year, and he was rock solid for a while. But what do they do with Eric Staal? What do they do with Eric Staal come playoff? Now, if they're out of the playoffs, they trade Eric Staal. There's no doubt about it.
What would I'm not sure if we talked on air or off air last week about Eric Staal and what value he might have around the league, if he were to be a deadline deal, if Minnesota's out of it and decides to move on with him. Like, you know, we've seen him move before, and, you know, it didn't have a great deal of success, I think, the last time he got traded. But
To New York.
Yeah, but this is a guy who's got a long history of producing offensively in this league, and I would think would be a welcome addition to a number of different teams down the stretch this year.
Well, Ryan, I think part of the issue when he got dealt to New York, he was playing on the wing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he wanted to do in coming to Minnesota was he wanted to go back to the middle, and he has. And he's been a terrific player for him. Coaches love having this guy on the ice and in the room. The other thing when you're talking about the Minnesota Wild and Paul Fenton, you've got a new general manager here who is not married or indebted to any of the players that he has drafted. He didn't draft any of these guys. He didn't bring in any of these guys. So he looks at
an owner that brought in a couple of them. That was a pretty strong owner.
Yes, Craig Leopold brought in Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. You're going to have a hard time unloading that contract, Zach Parise's contract. But he doesn't have the same emotional connection that a general manager like Chuck Fletcher had or would have had if he was still there to guys like Jonas Brodin or Charlie Coyle, who he traded for and brought in from the San Jose Sharks organization. So I think that changes some of the calculus for Minnesota. I think heading into the season, they were a borderline playoff team in the Western Conference. And honestly, that core has not really generated anything in the playoffs. They have not made it past the second round. I think you have to go all the way back to Wes Walls for the last time this team, and it might be the only time
Manny Fernandez.
That they have made it past the second round in the Western Conference.
Hey, anytime you bring calculus into a hockey conversation, though, you lose me. I had a hard time getting past, I think it was algebra, sophomore year.
I find that difficult to believe. I don't know why.
No, true. It's true. I can't do
that. Let's talk. You know, we opened talking about a coach that's been fired. Let's talk about some of the other coaches around the league. And, you know, I think last week we talked a little bit about Ken Hitchcock and the job that he's done in turning Edmonton around. And you know, they've lost a couple of games coming into the weekend. But, you know, the change has definitely been noticeable there. You know, some of the other teams around the league you kind of expected to be good are good, but there's some teams that have really kind of emerged here. And we've talked a little bit about Buffalo in past weeks. And who are some of the coaches that are really standing out and maybe getting more out of their rosters than you expected this year?
Well, I don't know about more, but I'm impressed with what Todd Reardon's been able to do in Washington. Unbelievable team, but he's been able to keep them up. He has a different way of, you know, treating the players, and Barry Trotz, and that's not to say Barry did anything bad. He was great. It's just a different voice, and Reardon's been able to get through to them. I like what he's done. Obviously, what you brought up, Buffalo. I mean, let's give Phil Housley a little credit for that too. You know, there's a guy last year didn't seem to. I didn't love the system. Maybe it was more the players. I mean, what comes first? Good goaltending and then a good coach, or good coach and then a good goaltender? So he's got some better goaltending there now with Carter Hutton and Linus Ullmark as well doing that. What about Billy Peters?
I was just
out in Calgary.
Billy Peters has done a terrific job.
Obviously, I was going to mention his name. Does he deserve a lot of credit? I mean, it's not just Peters, though. They made a couple of changes.
Sure. Sure. Living brought in they made the big trade with Carolina in the offseason.
Yeah.
And I think
they needed to get a couple people out of the room is what they felt.
Absolutely. I think Buffalo need to get a couple of people out of the room, too.
No question about that.
Yeah, so it just goes to show moving people to certain different other places where the locker room perhaps can handle those personalities, that type of people. So I've loved what Billy Peters has done there. You look at the standings regularly like we all do, and you say, whoa. And I knew Calgary was playing pretty well, but then I look at them the other day, and they said, holy smokes, first place, and they're starting to make a little separation from what they have. I look at a few others.
How much credit? Close to home. How much credit does Bruce Cassidy and his staff
get? Bruce Cassidy gets a lot of credit. And he, you know what? He getting a lot of credit around the league. Because a lot of teams are saying, wait, we're hurt. No doubt about it. You know, you're not going to get sympathy from
everybody
any of the teams.
Everybody is.
Right. Everybody's
not everybody, but most teams.
A lot are. But you know what they're saying? We're not missing Bergeron and Chara. We weren't missing five of our top six defensemen. I know Anaheim's a team could make an argument that
Nashville.
They were. Now Nashville, yeah, with Subban and Arvidsson out and Sissons now
Turris
as well.
Out.
And for a bit.
Arvidsson, mm-hmm. Turris.
But they had, Forsberg. I guess Ekholm missed. Yeah, didn't Ekholm miss last game? Yeah. Too?
He was sick.
He was sick, though. Okay. But so they're missing some bodies. You're right. But Bruce Cassidy has to get a ton of credit, and he does get a ton of credit around the league. And they're doing it differently. Last year, remember, the guys were scoring a ton. They're not scoring nearly as much this year. So we know Bruce loves offense. He's hoping, I think, that he'll get more offense with Bergeron back now that the D is seemingly back, too, except for Char and Kevin Millerson. But I get a ton of credit. But those Billy Peters to me, and you know, I give John Cooper high marks, too. He's got a phenomenal team. I mean, do you guys agree with Babcock? They're the best team in the league. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yes.
I do, too.
Yes.
I agree. So I give him credit, though. You know, people always had to take it for granted. Like Quenville, for years in Chicago, would be like, he can't be the Jack Adams. Because look how good the team is. But there's something to be said for being able to get most out of your team regularly.
Right, and there's something to be said for, you know, keeping a team on track that, you know, everybody knows is a great team, but they don't, you know, great teams don't always win, right? Great teams,
right.
You know, teams that have the most talent don't always win because they're not on the same page, or they're, you know, there's infighting in the room, or there's, you know, guys who aren't pulling their weight. I mean, it's, you know, it's a challenge sometimes to run a team that has some of the best talent in the league.
Ryan, I think the other guy in the Eastern Conference that should get some credit is Barry Trotz. He has changed around the culture and the way that the Islanders play. And we could see it firsthand. They were far more structured. You know, on the roster, you have no more John Tavares. He's gone. But for the most part, the roster's intact. It's the same defense. You've got different goaltenders back there, and he's been able to tighten up. And right now, as we sit here right now, they are 3 points behind Montreal for a wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're necessarily going to get in, but he has certainly done a marvelous job of changing things around there in Brooklyn or Nassau, the Nassau Coliseum, wherever they end up playing.
All right, let's you guys mentioned it a little bit, the injuries that Nashville's been dealing with coming in here today, but give us a little bit of a preview of this afternoon's game. We haven't seen the Predators since, I think it was the beginning of November. So
November, yeah, first Saturday in November.
So what are we expecting to see today at the Garden?
Well, they're a pretty fast team. They love to get their defense involved. Roman Josi is a hell of a player. He's the player that scored the only goal in the 1-0 game. November, was it 3rd, I believe, that they played, last time they played? Big fan of his, can do an awful lot. Ekholm, if he is playing, he's been putting up some points, a ton of assists this year. He's got 19 assists, 22 points coming in. They're missing some players, though. They're having a hard time scoring as of late. They haven't won on the road. After winning their first 8 games in a row on the road, is it 9 now that they have lost in a row on the road? So I do expect them. This is their last game, RJ. Unlike the Bruins have Carolina tomorrow, this is their last game before the break. So I do expect a full, hard effort from this team. They played well against Chicago a couple of games ago, lost 2-1. Then they lost their last game 2-1 as well. But, you know, they're missing Forsberg. You know, Kevin Fiala's stepping up, Judd, but, you know, it's not Forsberg. It's not Philip Forsberg. They're missing Subban. They're missing Arvidsson, who can
they're
be
missing Colton Sissons, too.
He just got out, yeah.
Who's played some important minutes for this team. The other thing is, Ryan, that the Predators have terrorized the Eastern Conference. That loss they had the other night to the Philadelphia Flyers was their first in regulation all year against an Eastern Conference team.
All right, but as you guys mentioned earlier, too, what is it, 9 in a row they've lost on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got a pretty good goaltender who leads the league in goals against.
Yeah, he's all right.
In Pekka Rinne.
Well, you've got, in fact, you got the two top save percentage goalies today. I'm assuming Rinne's playing. Have you seen an announcement on that? We know Halak
is. I have not.
Assuming Pekka Rinne plays, he's number one, and you've got Halak at number two, and they're both at even strength save percentage are right up there, too. They're both top goalies this year in the NHL.
Just real quick, Billy, because we have talked a lot about it today. But when the Bruins lines are put together, if they look like mm-hmm. they did yesterday in practice, you good with that?
I'm fine with it starting. I am. I absolutely am. I've been calling for some diversity, for a long time. The beautiful thing on this, if it doesn't work, Bruce Cassidy can go right back to something else, and he knows what he has in some other combinations. I'm curious to see what the fourth line ends up, we'll call it the fourth line, what it ends up looking like, who's in the slot there. But I'm all for trying it. Absolutely. If you don't try, you don't know.
All right. Appreciate the time as always, Billy.
Thanks, sir.
Judd, Merry Bob, Christmas, Merry Christmas to all of you. Enjoy the break after tomorrow, and we'll be listening this afternoon, 12:30 pregame.
Happy Thank holidays you. To you, Ryan.
You too. All right. We will end on that. I want to wish a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all of those of you who will be celebrating this week. Thank you for being with us every Saturday morning. We will be here with you, of course, next Saturday morning, and we'll be looking forward toward the Winter Classic just a few days after that coming up next Saturday. Coming up right now, it's Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'll talk to you on Monday morning. I'll be in with Michael Hurley from 6 to 10 a.m. We'll get you ready for Christmas Eve here on The Sports Hub. Stick around for Gasper and Murray next.
You're listening to The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.